Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky has been teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Before you were born, God recognized that there is something that needs to be done, and I have prepared a special person to step into that, and I will bless that person with my blessing. A lot of men who are struggling against failure that's pursuing them, they actually are inviting the failure by their deeds. Sin kills your ability to succeed. Look, sin is not a matter of whether God likes it or he doesn't like it. It's a poison to the human soul. This is how winners think. Winners think that where has God prepared my body for? Therein lies my glory. Listen to me. If Moses had turned out to be a Pharaoh in Egypt, we would never have read the story. God brings the opportunity your way every day for you to see the place that he has called you to be. The place of your destiny. For you to qualify yourself for it, he brings the opportunities every day. But people don't walk with God. They let Satan bait them away from their destinies. Your life will be counted as having been successful or having been a failure of a life according to how much you walked in that way that conformed with God's plan for your life before you were born.
Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by today's teaching.
Now let's start today's message by reading from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 to 8. It said, "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak because I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go, and all that I command you, you shall speak. He said, do not be afraid of them, verse 8, and I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Now, in the last many episodes, we have been speaking about building a great future today. We've been on that for quite a while now, and we are not through with it yet. Now, when we said that there are three important seeds that we must sow during seed time that will bring forth automatic results during harvest, we said that seed time is the days of young manhood and the days that we expect good in life. When we expect to settle in life and begin to really enjoy life, those are the days we call harvest. So we said there are three kinds of seeds. Number one, we said, is faith. The kind of things that are settled in your heart that generate expectations for you. We have explained that hope is not a wish. So this faith gives you a hope in life. Hope is not a wish. It is an expectation that you are firm in expecting. You understand what I mean? Because you have believed something. That is, if you throw a glass, maybe a drinking glass, into the air, and all around is concrete floor, and it flies into the air, you have an expectation that it will break when it impacts. And that is called hope. Hope does not have to be good. Hope just needs to be waited for. You understand what I mean? You say firmly. So we said what you really expect in life, which is born out of your convictions, which is based on truth that you have imbibed, will eventually come to you. So if you have the wrong things believed in your heart, you have your heart framed in the wrong fashion, later in life, you will experience calamity, you will experience failure. So it is important, therefore, that you sharpen your faith and your hope thereby according to the word of God. And the Bible says that all flesh is grass, and the goodliness thereof are like the flowers of the field. That if your hope is based upon things that are physical, it will eventually fail you. He said, but the word of God abides forever. So if your faith, your hope is based upon God's word, you will definitely have good results. We said number two and number three, the two of them are products of number one, which is faith. What are these other two? Works and words. The things that you do in life are products of what you believe. And the words that you speak are products of what you have come to accept also. And the last few episodes, we've talked extensively about faith, works, and then about patience. What I want to go on to speak about today is that matter of words. From our text of scriptures, you will see that words also are generated by what you believe. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, he said, according to the one who spoke, We also having the same spirit of faith, therefore we believed and we speak. That is, the spirit of faith, there is something that faith generates inside you as a force. That is what is called the spirit of faith. When you have that, it causes you to speak. And the things that you speak, therefore, reflect what you really believe. Let me say this, words are like the trigger for a loaded gun. The cartridge is there, the gunpowder is inside the cartridge. The gun is loaded. When you speak words, you actually cause those things that are inside your heart to explode. What am I saying? That if you believe something and you have not said anything about it, you have not yet ignited the process to bring those things to pass in life. Let me just emphasize something. That it is not just about speaking the right words. It's about first believing the right things. And once you have believed the right things, the words will come out of you spontaneously. And once those words come out, they ignite a process in your life. If you go and study James, James said that words, he was talking about the tongue there, he said they give direction to your life. That they are like a forest, that your life is like a forest that can catch fire. But that fire is decided by spark. And he said that spark is the tongue. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say here. That spark is the tongue. That when you speak, it sets your life in a particular direction. When we're talking about breaking the curses in your life, I talked about this matter of words, and I said I will come back to it during this next series, which we are in right now. Now, we explained something very strongly, that a man is imprisoned or set free by the words of his mouth. If you keep on speaking negative things, words generate spiritual forces in the air that either bring good to you or repel them from you. And if you keep speaking negative things, you will find out that you'll be attracting evil into your life. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. Now, that is very true. And, you know, one of the things that Satan does, like I told you us last time, is to try to take away our faith, is to try to entice us into iniquity so that we will now become short of God's glory. Another thing it does is to entice people, still in the same process, to speak the wrong words. Because when they speak wrongly, their lives will never go right. Now listen to this. When we're reading from just now as our text from Jeremiah chapter 1, you will notice that all that God had to correct Jeremiah about was on his words. Do you notice that? Now, when God spoke to Jeremiah, God said, I have called you. I am going to send you to these people. He said, before I formed you, I knew you. I consecrated you, and I appointed you a prophet to the nations. And Jeremiah was going to answer God. He said, alas, I am a youth, and I am not able to speak. And God said to him, do not say, I am a youth. Are you noticing that? That God is saying, what you say will prevent you from achieving results in life. Is what I'm saying making sense here? God said to Jeremiah, do not say. You know, there is what I call excuses for Satan, which you've heard me discuss a number of times. Now, what do I mean by excuses for Satan? They are the explanations we give why our lives will never go well. They are the explanations we give that Satan uses to keep us in bondage. If we see a man succeeding, instantly we begin to look for explanations for why this guy is doing well. Now we give explanations like, his father is rich, thereby saying that because my father is not rich, I will not succeed like he is succeeding. I call them excuses for Satan. If you say, why is a man not doing well? He'll say, because I have applied for visas. For the last 10 years, I've been playing American visa lottery and have never won. And that is why I am in the situation I am in today. Excuses for Satan. He has not recognized that people around him have moved forward in these last 10 years while all he was doing was waiting for a visa. Do you get the point I'm making here? If you ask a man, why don't you set up your own business? He said, I do not have capital. Excuses for Satan. That the reason why I will never have my own business is because I do not have capital. He doesn't understand that business can be started from very little. Business can be started with simple ideas, and people can buy into that idea and produce capital. Some of the biggest banks in this country that I know of were started by ideas of men who did not have money but had very strong ideas, and they sold those ideas to those that had money, and that way they became very wealthy. And they are still the majority shareholders in those banks. Ideas, they did not need money.
Listen, we have said again and again, what you do not have cannot stop you from prospering. The main reason why you are not prospering is because you have been using those things as excuses to speak, and you have been agreeing with Satan that you will never move forward. Don't ever forget this. A man is ensnared by the words of his mouth. The Bible says that life and death is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it will eat the fruit thereof. That is, if your life will go forward properly, you will have to speak properly. If you will keep on speaking negatively, then you should not expect your life to go on appropriately. Now, there's something I want you to understand. These words we are talking about, the people who speak them out of conviction, which is actually the reason why the words are very powerful. In fact, let me quickly go into, at this point, into what I call the weight of words. Because words have weight. In fact, in my place, they have a saying. They will tell you that that guy spoke, that word was heavy. That is, maybe all the man said was be careful. And they will turn to the man that was told be careful. That man, what you have just heard is very heavy. What they mean is that there is something loaded in that word that is not visible. That is not easily discernible except you have understanding. That the man who told you be careful, he has seen things that you have not yet experienced. The man who told you be careful, he knows where this thing will get you to that you cannot yet imagine. So they will tell you words are weighty. Do you understand my point? So it ignited my understanding and I began to meditate. And I came to understand that words indeed, scripturally speaking, they have weight. And there are two things that give weight to words. Number one, the kind of person speaking those words. And number two, the kind of conviction behind those words. Let me say that again. Words, the weight of words are determined not just by what they sound like, but the kind of person that spoke them and the conviction with which he spoke those words. You remember that Jesus said in John chapter 6 verse 63, he said, the flesh profits nothing. It is the spirit that gives life. He said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Let me give that to you in simple today's English. Jesus said, was saying, the physical appearance, the mere sounds of those words don't mean anything. He said it is the thing that they carry, the spiritual substance behind their expression that really counts. He said the words that I speak, they carry a spiritual substance that imparts life wherever they get to. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make here? That's what Jesus said. He was saying, therefore, my words are not empty. Paul talked about sounding brass and clanging cymbals. That is, you can be making noise. And the things you are saying are just simply like that, noise. They do not have an impact. You can imagine, if a president says this will be, there is a meaning. If a common man on the street says the same thing, that by tomorrow, this thing will be banned in Nigeria, he's just speculating. But if the president said that, you can take it as done. Why? The words from different people differ based upon the character, the spiritual substance of the people that are speaking. When Jesus spoke, he was speaking as one that was united with the Father. He said, I and the Father, we are one. And for that reason, when I issue forth words, they are backed with a spiritual substance that produces effect everywhere they go. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. You will remember that Samuel was decided. That is, Israel noticed that Samuel was a prophet. Why? Because the Bible said that none of the words that he spoke fell to the ground. None of his words ever went unfulfilled. What am I saying here? The people that speak words that matter, they are men of weight themselves. What gives a man weight? Let me tell you what gives you weight in life. Let me tell you what will give you weight as a woman in life. It is called the righteousness of God. What gives your word weight when you issue forth words is the amount of righteousness that God has called your own. In this life. That is, if you are somebody of faith. Let me quickly explain that. Remember, we started by talking about faith. Faith is what brings forth righteousness. The Bible says that hearing is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Do you get the point I'm making here? That is, one that has believed the word of God and is walking by that word, his words have weight when he issues them forth. You look at somebody like Elijah. When Elijah came to Israel, he said, according to my word, there will be no rain in this place. until I say otherwise. You notice that he did not say that God has asked me to say. He said, according to my words. In fact, the angel that came to Zechariah, Gabriel, after he gave words, and Zechariah did not believe those words, what did he say? He said, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. Therefore, if I speak to you, you should understand that those words have weight. That's what he was saying. What am I saying? If your words are going to have weight in this life, the first thing is that the righteousness of God must be inside your heart. What do I mean by the righteousness of God? You have come to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you are walking in obedience to His words, and you have imbibed the truth of the Word of God. That is what is called righteousness. Do you understand what I'm saying? It does not mean that you walk in a particular manner after the orders of a church or after certain laws and commandments. It means that your whole life is based upon your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm saying that that is number one thing that gives weight to your words. The number two thing that gives weight to words is the conviction with which those words are spoken. Now, this is the dangerous part, because most people that speak off the cuff without thinking, they actually speak what they really believe. When they are speaking with their friends in the closet, they speak what they really believe. But when they go to church and the pastor says, repeat after me, this month is my month of breakthrough, they repeat it without being persuaded about it. What really controls their life are those ones they say in secret. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Remember what we said? That Solomon said, God will bring all these things to judgment, even those things that are done in secret. Most of the words that we speak publicly in church, when everybody says, repeat this after me, we are not persuaded about them. We are persuaded about those ones when we are giving serious counsel. Say, let me tell you as a friend, the way this nation is going, there is no certainty. In reality, you have ignited uncertainty in your future. Listen, people speak according to their persuasion. When Jeremiah was speaking, what did he say? He recognized that he was a young man and God was about to send him to old men. So he said to God, I cannot speak because of my age. The man was being frank with the Lord. You understand the point I'm trying to make? But God now said this, which is my message for today. He said, do not say. Because if there is something in your heart, and you have not yet issued it forth, it is easy to turn it around and change it to become conformed to God's order. The tongue is very powerful. Listen to this. The tongue is very powerful. A man that has spiritual substance, that speaks a word, has ignited something very powerful into the air. Do you get what I'm trying to say here? Let me just quickly add this to it. The most powerful words that can be issued forth in life is a repetition of the word of God spoken with conviction. Do you follow my point? Because you are repeating the words that created the heavens and the earth. It's very important we understand this. When you repeat those words and you speak it with conviction, you ignite spiritual forces to start moving. There is something the Bible says in Psalm 103. It was describing the angels of God in verse 20. It said, bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Notice something here. What he was saying here, in effect, is that once the angels hear the voice that is sounding God's word, it does not have to be God himself speaking. That's what I want you to understand. When the voice is issued forth according to the sayings of God, this is so important we understand it. Because when God was going to destroy Babylon, he gave words to Jeremiah. Jeremiah wrote the words in a book, and then he told his secretary, Seraiah, he said, when you get to Babylon, see that you read all these words over Babylon. Then when you have read it, tie it and throw it into the river Euphrates and say, thus will Babylon go down and will not rise again. That is, before God began judgment upon Babylon, he first gave his words. Then those words were given to a prophet, and then the prophets began to speak those words. Do you understand my point? And that ignited the destruction of Babylon. What am I saying here? Great things that will have happened in life, God has planned it. But before God can do things on the earth, he appoints prophets. He said, can the Lord God do a thing without first telling his servants, the prophets? Why does he do that? Because before he can do it, there must be a prophesying of the prophets of God. Let me just emphasize this again. Being a prophet of God does not mean you are working in a prophetic ministry. It just means you have discovered God's word and you are walking in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Do you understand that point? When you begin to declare the word of God, then results will begin to be manifested. What am I trying to tell us to do? In life, if we are going to have success, if we are going to have victory, the first thing we must do is to curtail our tongue, watch the things that we say. Remember, what God told Jeremiah was, you must not say. He said, do not say, I am a youth. What was God saying there? I have put power in your mouth. If you say, I cannot speak because I'm a youth, you will not be able to speak because you are a youth. And at the end of the day, you will say, I said so, that I cannot speak. Do you understand my point? But God said, don't do that. What do I want you to do? Simply, anything I tell you to say, say it. You know, that is the beauty of it. God simply told Jeremiah, anything I tell you to say, say it. He said, do not say, I am a youth. Because everywhere I send you, you shall go. And all that I command you, you shall speak. Do you understand that? Now you have to notice something here. That Jeremiah had reasons to say what he was saying. So when you are discussing with people, and they are telling you that, listen, no, there is no future for your country, for your children. They have reasons. Even you yourself may have reasons. You have just been laid off your job. There is a reason to speak negatively. Let me tell you something. The time depression is on you most to speak negatively is the time you must shut your mouth and not say anything. Are you getting my point? Because you see, your mouth cannot say two things at the same time and have results. This is the bad thing about life. When two things are issuing forth from the same spring, it's the negative one that have the stronger effect. Jesus said it like this, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. He said, one sinner destroys much good. That's the principle of life. I don't know why it's like that, but that's the way it is. Do you understand my point? You can build a great building, put one single part of this foundation out of place. The whole thing is coming down. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. That is, the Bible says, one sinner destroys much good. Therefore, you cannot let good words and bad words come out of your mouth at the same time. The one that will have effect is a bad one. You get my point? That's why James says that these things are not right. How can a spring bringing forth good water also bring forth evil? You cannot curse and bless with the same mouth. You have to decide today, as I'm preaching, that is my mouth going to be a blessing mouth or a cursing mouth? Because it cannot be both. You follow what I'm trying to say? Especially about your life, it cannot be both. Jeremiah had reasons to speak. I call those reasons excuses for Satan. The Bible says that do not give room to the devil. The devil does not take room except you give it to him. You are not his property. You are a child of God. Is what I'm saying making sense to you? That is why the Bible says don't give him room. And the way by which you give the devil room is by the things you say. So God looked at Jeremiah and said, do not say, because what you say will come to pass for you. He said, all you need to do is repeat everything I tell you. Listen, that is why God has ordained for such a broadcast like this to come forth. So that you can be infected with the faith of God and have something positive to say. Listen to this. I told you that the greatest thing, the greatest word you can utter are the words first uttered by God. When they are repeated, the Bible said, like we read from Psalm 103 just now, that angels respond to them. You are following the point I'm making here? They respond. So once a man is walking in righteousness and he repeats the word of God, because it's important that you understand this. It is not just talking. I told you something earlier. A lot of people go to church to go and collect blessing. We discussed that last week. Not having cleansed themselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit. A lot go to church not believing anything, not walking righteously, just want to go and repeat. They say, repeat. This year is my year of breakthrough. And they repeat it and it has no effect. Why? Because their whole life is still defiled in flesh and in spirit. I hope you're getting what I'm trying to say. That the most important thing, the first thing that you must bear in mind is the person that is repeating the word of God. I hope you understand this. When those people wanted to cast out demons, the sons of Sceva, they said, "We adjure you by Jesus Christ whom Paul preaches." Those were very powerful words, except that they were spoken by men that had no spiritual substance. So the demons looked and said, "Paul, we know. No, Jesus, we know. Paul, we have heard his reputation." He said, "But you have no spiritual substance." I hope you are getting the point I'm making here. That is one walking in righteousness before God. The first thing he does is to stop saying the things that are his hindrances. Stop giving Satan excuses to keep him in bondage. I wrote a little book on that. I encourage everybody to visit our website. You can read it there for free. Prophesy. He said, "Prophesy again, I say, son of man, prophesy." That is, you have seen things in the valley of dry bones, Ezekiel chapter 37. What you find is that men describe what they have seen. He says, "Son of man, what do you see?" And Ezekiel described how full the valley was of dry bones. And he said, "Prophesy, son of man, prophesy. You have seen the valley full of dry bones, but this is the word of God, that these bones will live again. Now, therefore, speak according to what God has said. Prophesy to the bones." What am I saying? You have a life that has been wrecked. You have an economy that has been spoiled. You have a future you believe doesn't amount to anything. God said, "That's the way it used to be. What's my word to you now? That from here, good things will happen again." So what is the first thing you do if you have faith in Jesus Christ? You begin to declare according to the word of God. What I'm saying, is it making sense to you here? That is, you don't give Satan excuses to hold you in bondage. The first thing you do is to prophesy according to God's word. First thing God told Jeremiah is, stop saying your hindrances. "I can't start my business because there's no capital." He said, "You are not sure of power supply. You know, I'm not sure that the banks will lend me money. You know, we cannot do this because we are still in Nigeria and Nigeria has not yet changed. You know, we cannot do..." There are people kept on saying things like this and kept on saying things like this, and companies were coming to Nigeria, investing and making money. Some people are still repeating the excuses for Satan. I hope you're getting what I'm ready to say. You want to build a great future for your life, you start pouring forth great words into your future with your tongue today. That is the point I am making. Very, very important. Excuses for Satan are the reasons you have as explanations for your failure. Remember I said, the things that you believe are the things that come out of you spontaneously. So the first place you go to is, what do I really believe? That was why God told Jeremiah. He said, "Before you were born, I knew you. I have already appointed you a prophet." Jeremiah had new information. Do you understand? And with that, he could begin to speak afterwards. I've been giving you information in this broadcast. You've been hearing words when you go to church. You've been hearing great things. The issue is, choose the one you are going to repeat. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? The Bible says you must guard your heart with all diligence, because from it flows forth the issues of life. And it said that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Number one thing you must do is to check the things that you put into your heart. What I'm saying, is it making sense to you? That is, you must, listen to me, you must bridle your tongue if you want your tomorrow to be great. Remember what I said the other time? You cannot go around shouting that men are dangerous as a woman and you expect a good husband. It does not happen. You cannot go around explaining to everybody that women cannot be trusted and you expect a good wife. It is not possible. What you will get in life is a product of that thing that you have come to believe and you are declaring forth from your mouth. Now, what I'm trying to explain to us today is this. When we speak and we speak positively, it is not that we have not seen the wrong things happening in life. It is just that we have seen greater things that will happen. And we know the things that will happen will not depend upon what we have seen, but what we are seeing. Do you understand that point? That is the power of the prophetic word. Amen.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.